Yes.
Okay, we are all here.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. On behalf of the yeshiva, we really thank you for taking over your time.
That's okay. Glad to be able to help with whatever I can. So I just want to begin by saying that my son sent me a list of questions last night, and so I think by way of introduction, it has to be stated that some of the issues are obviously going to be dependent on the matrius, on the way, the way things actually turn out. And only the people who are there on the spot can judge the, for example, the level of possible sakana, of danger that there may be, at any given point. So we could discuss now rules and call him and try to understand, the guidelines for how approaching some of these shilas. And some of them might be just be black and white, and they, that won't depend so much on this. But some of them may. So you have to realize that the chief rule in every part of Shulchan Aruch, not just Chosh Mishpah, but every part of Shulchan Aruch, is using your seichel. And you have to use your seichel both in terms of applying halacha and in terms of taking care of yourself. I want to mention, Chazal say, what's brought in the Sfarim, that when it comes to questions of pikuach nefesh, when it comes to situations where there is actual threat to human life, then and there's a halacha that might conflict with what you feel you might need to do under the circumstances. So we are taught hashoel, one who asks a shaila when the situation is there, the pikuach nefesh is in front of him, and instead of reacting, instead of doing what he needs to protect and save his own life or the life of another yid, but he goes and asks a shaila, hashoel hareis hashofich damim. He's considered a murderer, because the rule is, if you're in a situation of pikuach nefesh, then it's docha Shabbos. It's docha Shabbos deraisa or derabanan. It's docha, it's docha kol tara kula, for the most part. Certainly docha Shabbos. So it says, hashoel hareis hashofich damim, and hanishal, the one who's asked the shaila, hareis the maguna. The maguna means it's a very bad reflection. It speaks very poorly for the one who's being asked the shaila, meaning because he should have conveyed that message in advance. He should have made it clear to people that depend on him that if there's ever a situation of pikuach nefesh, you do what you need to, and you don't first go ask a shaila then. So it's a maguna, it's a bad sign. It speaks badly about the rav who's being asked. But the shaila is a shaila something. So that having been said, but that doesn't mean you lose your head, and that doesn't mean you panic, and that doesn't mean that you exaggerate or inflate situations of whatever they may be into pikuach nefesh. You still have to use seichel to know is it pikuach nefesh. Once you believe it is, even if you have a suffix, but you have a real suffix, it may be, so then you do whatever you have to. Okay, so with that being said, let me just address one of the smaller questions, and then one of the questions they ask is the mutter to walk outside during the storm. So that question, you don't need chelik aleph of Mishnah Berurah or beis gimel. All you need is your head on your shoulders. Obviously, if it's at a point of a storm where it's dangerous, where there are unusually heavy, strong winds, and things are flying around, and the trees look like they want to get uprooted. Obviously, a person is used to seichel and not go outside unless there's some other compelling pikuach nefesh to save somebody else who maybe who's hurt or whatever it is. But obviously, no. Could you the answer to the question is, could you take risks? Could you go outside to be able to, whatever it is, experience the thrill and the gvuras Hashem? No. If it's at a point of sakana or even snuffing sakana, obviously you can. If it's short of that, and it's starting to get a little, stormy or rainy, and you have a reason to go. So the only thing you could use to answer that shaila is your own seichel and honesty. So there's no other way of really answering that shaila. And I don't think there's any halachic principle that anyone here that speaks that anyone here is not aware of. Okay. Now, so moving on. So let's think about some of the questions that deal more with real halachic principles. So a few questions were asked about flashlights and other devices that give light. Let's say you leave it on from before Shabbos and there is indeed a power outage at night, are you allowed to use them to, are you allowed to move it to see around your house? Are you allowed to read by it or learn by it, etc.? So there, we consider a flashlight, which is on, or a similar device, we consider the klisha machto l'isser, which means at worst, which means that what, if it's on, then yes. Now, I want to just, you know, also just tell you a little parenthesis. Of course, some of the things I'm going to say are subject of machlokes, like many, many things in halacha, but I'm trying to give you what I believe is the normative approach and the approach that you have a right to rely on. And that we would consider it not worse than a klisha machto l'isser, which would mean that you could move it l'tzarech gufo. That is the rule of klisha machto l'isser, to give yourself gufo makom. L'tzarech gufo means I need to use it for something permissible. So shining light on a safer, or shining light on, you know, on in your home so that you could walk and see what you need to, or get something from a cat, whatever it is. That's a dvar heter. That's called using a l'tzarech gufo. So yes, you'd be allowed to move the flashlight once it's on, or the other electric, whatever it is. I mean, there's been a lantern. I don't know exactly what the electric lantern is, but assuming it's just a similar device, which has, you know, it's an electric light, which is on already, then you're allowed to move it in order to have light. Same thing if you had a bulb on a plug, or a lamp on a plug. As long as it's plugged in firmly and you're moving it within range, that it won't get pulled out of the wall, you can even move that to provide light somewhere else. Okay, by a power outage, that's not going to help you. But it's just the concept. Okay, that's called using a l'tzarech gufo. Now, it probably is wise, if you're going to leave it on before Shabbos, it's probably wise to put a piece of tape over the switch so that you don't forget and, you know, but out of rote, turn it off. Wise for two reasons. Number one, because you want to have it on. If you turn it off, putting it back on is a much, much more worse shaila. And number two, just as a hero, that you shouldn't come to do it. Not that Chazal made a xera there. They made xera by a kira, by a stovetop, that you have to put a blech. And they made certain other xeras. There's no xera here, but a person has to use a seichel as well. And if you know that it might happen, or it's likely to happen, so it's a nice precaution. Like people who put tape over the light switches in their house. Not that there's xeras Chazal that require it, but it's a, you know, it's a precaution that's worthwhile taking. Okay, now if the flashlight is off, to turn it on yourself would not be mutter, except if there's a makom sakana. If let's say it's dark, there's no power, and somebody's hurt or something, and you need the light to see, then of course, you know, makom sakana, no shaila. But we're assuming, or hoping, we're not going to get to that, or in a situation where you're not dealing with that, but you want to be able to move around in your house with more ease, and you want to be able to, you know, do what you need to, or to read something, so then that would not be mutter. That would be most likely an issur d'oraisa to turn it on, and even if it would be an issur d'rabbanan, it would not be mutter, except in certain very specific cases, so it would not be mutter to turn it on. To have a goy turn it on, so even that is not going to be mutter in the most cases, because, as I said, with turning it on, we're going to consider most likely to be an issur d'oraisa, and you can't ask a goy to do an issur d'oraisa, even b'makom mitzvah or b'makom tzarech, unless, again, of course, it's tzarech, you know, pekach nefesh or something else. But to ask your guy to do a malacha d'oraisa is not mutter, and even if he does it, you can't even benefit from it. If a guy turns on a flashlight for you or turns on a light at your house, you're not even allowed to be neder. You're not allowed to use the light. You don't have to leave your own house. If it's not your house, you have to leave the room if he turns it on for you. If it's not your house, you don't have to leave your house, but you're not allowed to do anything in the house that you couldn't have done in the dark. So you should not ask your guy to turn it on. And so that already answers the other question, but about having the guy change the batteries, it's not going to help you anyway, because even if he changed the batteries, you couldn't get it on. But just for the record, that would also be very likely a shaila v'doraisa of a form of tikkun mana of you know, makom patish, which may certainly be a doraisa. So you should not have a guy do that, except, as I said, we're talking about extreme circumstances of pikuach nefesh. I will mention there is a shitas rishonim, the Baal HaItter, that holds for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to ask a guy to do a doraisa, even a doraisa for a dvar mitzvah. We don't pass it away. The Ramah brings it in two places, in Reish Ayin Vav, and I think it's Shin Zayin, but we don't pass it that way. The achronim say, if it's a mitzvah dorabim, we do rely on the itter. The Mishnah Berurah brings that, but that, you know, that has limited application for a mitzvah dorabim. We'll get back to that. I do want to mention another problem, that is, if we'd be dealing with the Darabanan, to ask a guy to do a Darabanan would be mutter b'makom mitzvah, or b'makom tzarech gadol, b'makom niktas choli, or b'makom hefsid mamon gadol, or b'makom mitzvah, it's mutter to ask a guy to do a Darabanan. And there are many achronim that say that if a guy does even a malacha, which is normally a deraisa, but if he does it with a shinui, it becomes a derabanan. Just like if you do, which is that a yid does a deraisa with a shinui, it's a derabanan. So there are achronim that say that the same thing is true with a guy. Now it's a machlokes achronim on that point. My father-in-law, Shmuel Bracha, Rabbi Shmuel Naiman, used to say over there that Rabbi Moshe told him not like that. Rabbi Moshe told him it's passive can shinu by a guy. By a guy, there's no difference. The normal way, the abnormal way, shinu is a concept by a way, the iser of malacha, malacha is not sheves, so shinu is the rabbanim. But by a guy, he's not in the whole parsha, so shinu doesn't make a difference. He said Rabbi Moshe told him that. And there are achronim, you know, we print to say that, but there are reliable achronim as well. Chashim Achronim, we could be stomach on that, say it does lower it to the Rabbanan, and we are stomach on that. So, the Mela, if there would be a matzav of Tzarech Mitzvah, even a Mitzvah for a Yachid, which he can't do without light, perhaps, certainly if it would be a Mitzvah of the Rabbin, but if he couldn't do it without light, and to ask a guy to do it with a Shinui is an option. But again, it has to be at least a Makom Mitzvah or a Makom Tzarech Godel, like to prevent a large, a huge Hefzid Mammon or Mikzvah Choli. I'll just tell you very quickly because it's something you could an interesting mice. And then I heard this from the Rish Kol here of David Zucker, who heard it from Rizal Taplin from Lakewood, wrote a number of very chashuv stars. That one time it happened in Lakewood many years back, the Hiram Baron Kotler, that the lights were off in the dining hall when it came to Shalosh Shittos time, and it was already, you know, dark or getting dark, and it wasn't shaykh, you know, to have Shalosh Shittos there. So one of the Talmid in the Shiva went over and turned to the janitor and told the guy to turn on the lights, because his rationale was the Baal HaItter, that way I mentioned before, for Tzarech Mitzvah, and this is a Mitzvah Derabim. The whole yeshiva can't eat Shalosh Shittos. It's a Mitzvah, Derabim. So one of the Bachrim or whatever, one of the guys in the Shiva told the janitor to turn on the lights. So about a couple who saw that or came to his attention, and he did not feel that you should rely on the Itter, apparently, even the Makom Mitzvah, the Rabbin. So he told that person, he says, now I want you to tell the guy to turn off the lights, turn them back off, and then to turn them back on with his elbow, or turn them back on with shinui. Because Rav Aaron held that even with the Evid, you can't use the light when he turns on normally, but if he turns on with a shinui, you can use it, because that's a shvus to shvus, that's a double derabanan, like we explained. So he said, so to have the guy turn off the light is also only the Rabbana, because Malacha Shein Shech L'Gufa. So telling the guy to turn off the light is necessary so that he can turn it back on in a way that they could use it. So he said, turn off the light and turn it back on with the shinui. Have a guy, turn off the light and then turn back the shinui. This is the mice that is related. Okay, so I hope you got from that the column. I'm sure, I'm speaking fast, but I'm sure you're all in the Madrega to grasp it, and anything that you're not, I'm sure Bekir will be glad to... it's a review later. Sorry to give you work, Rabbi Kier, but I'm sure that...
The room is full of Rabbanim, don't worry.
I see. Okay. I didn't know. Shalom Aleichem to everyone who's there. Okay. Now, in terms of... again, the question was, is there carrying a cell phone in case it comes up? Again, the ultimate answer is going to be, if there's any real need that borders on, real sakana or something... Of course, but I'm skeptical about that. I mean, if it's a point where it could be sakana, you shouldn't be outside. So why are you carrying a cell phone? You don't have to carry it. I mean, even if you need it, because your neighbor might have a sakana, so he'll call you. I mean, you don't have to carry it for that. So to take it out, if you're outside at a time when it's already dangerous enough that someone might have a sakana, you shouldn't be there. So the kids there, normally the answer is going to be, I would say the answer is no. But of course, use your seichel. If you must go outside for some emergency, and could you take a cell phone to help, to guide you in your services in the emergency? If you work for Hatzalah, or if you work for Hatzalah, but you're providing similar services, okay, so use your seichel. If you need to carry it, just like Hatzalah carries the walkie-talkies, if you need to carry your cell phone. But the standard answer to that question would be no. I don't see a normal case where you should need to carry your cell phone. A regular person needs to carry a cell phone, Shabbat. Okay, moving on. The questions that were asked here, leaving on a radio or TV. So look, I'm all thoughtful about whether there's going to be any information you need to know, that's going to make a difference. I mean, if you want to know, can I go out to Mincha? So you're not going to listen to the radio about what time the storm's going to get bad, because you can't rely on that. It changes. I mean, you probably know better than me, but it changes every couple of hours. The forecast changes exactly when it's going to hit and how it's going to hit. So if you need to know whether you can go out to Mincha Shabbos afternoon, you have to look outside and see where things are holding and get, you know, judge the metzias. So I don't believe the radio and TV is going to help much. If I'm wrong, you know, somebody asked me the other day, a different Shiloh from Florida, and I told him what I thought, but I told him the best people to know are the local Rabbanim, the local. So there's like this, if you're Rosh Yeshiva, you're Rebbeim, or the Rabbanim there feel that there is some tzarech to know, then yes, you could, leaving it on, you know, don't leave it on so loud, but leaving it on the radio something is not the most chometic Shiloh to do if there's a real tzarech. If we chas v'shalom be war times and we, you know, in back in Europe and they needed to know, you know, or something like that, okay. But so if I'm missing something in terms of the information that's being provided over the live information, if I'm missing something and it's a real important, even if it's not pikuach nefesh, but it's very important, so then yes, you could do it. But you know, if I had to gauge it, I would assume that there's probably at that point very little that you're gonna find out over the radio more than you're gonna judge by your own thing. Okay. By the way, just getting back for a second, so the question by the flashlight, learning by candlelight, by flashlight, so we allow that with our types of candles, for example. We're not choshesh shemei yatzeh because our candles don't have the problems that the old candles did of flickering and or of the shemen going away. So you could over the flashlight as well, according to what we said before. You could learn by the light of the flashlight, but as I said, probably best off, you turn it on before Shabbos or put a piece of tape on it. You probably, it's just a smart thing to do, even if it's not halachically mandatory. Okay, then there's some questions asked about hachanu, or bringing things in, and you know, and the like. So, bringing things in, if there's something outside, obviously you should, you know, I think people are alerted enough by now to bring things in already. If there's something outside that you think could break or could cause harm if it starts flying around, so bring it in today. You know, obviously, I think it's a serious enough threat that you should bring it in today. But if you didn't, you overlooked something, you couldn't, whatever it may be. So if it's Shiloh Hefsid Mamon, you're allowed to bring something. And it just says, you're not allowed to move Nechama L'Tzeil, which means you're not allowed to move it for its protection. But the Klishim L'Achdol L'Hetzi, you are. So if it's not Muksa, you're allowed to move it. That's not necessarily called Hachana. If it's going to get damaged right now, it's a Klishim L'Achdol L'Hetzi, I'm allowed to move it inside. If it's a klishul nachtol le'iser, so then I'm talking not allowed to move it inside. If it's not going to be a danger by staying outside, going to, you know, be a threat to people's, you know, safety, it's just going to be a question that might smash. So then you couldn't move it inside unless you could come up with a tzarech. If you could come up with a use for it, you're allowed to do that. Like you're allowed to do harama. You're allowed to, let's say, there's a hammer outside, and you don't have a nutcracker inside, but you don't want a walnut. So eat one anyway. Eat a walnut. And you could bring the hammer inside from the out in order to use it to use a walnut, even though your real kavan is to save it. But as long as you use the tzarechufo, you're allowed to do that. So if you can come up with a, you know, a tzarech, but tzarech has to be something that you would dafka need this keli for. But that you could do. In terms of other chana, so the general rule, we you know, the chayadim taught us the mishnah brings this halacha in Hilchos Shmini Atzeret. He talks about if you want to, in Chutz Laaretz, if Shmini Atzeret leads into Simchas Torah, and you want to bring things in from the sukkah, you have your chairs and benches in the sukkah, and you want to bring them in the house, because Simchas Torah night, you're going to need them in the house. So the Chayil says it's mutter, you can bring them in, even though you don't really plan on using it until night, but you can't set it up fully in the house, you know, prepare, but you can bring it in. And it's based on a few concepts that, number one, it's not hachana gemura. You're just moving something from point A to point B. It's a shvacha type of hachana. Number two, you're not doing it the gemara dover of hachana. You're not setting it up fully. You're just bringing it in. Number three, it's a case where it'd be a big hefsid, because if you don't bring it in to start schlepping in at night, he's talking about it would be very difficult, very time-consuming to start schlepping in at night and maybe in the dark. And also, number four, it's a Zara Mitzvah. You're setting it up for the Sudas Yontif. So when you have that combination, you can do it. So I'll show you, like, Barry McKissler, I once heard from a Shmuel Felder of Lakewood, he gave that Eitzah if it's a Shabbos, let's say, Erev Shuas, and you, or any 2 days of Yontif, and you didn't, your food is frozen, your food for the night food is in the freezer frozen. You're going to wait till Motzai, the first day, or Motzai Shabbos, to take out the Yontif foods. It's going to take forever. You're not going to sit down to the food until 12 o'clock because it's frozen solid and it's going to take forever to be. So he said you're allowed to take it out of the freezer on Shabbos or on Yom Tov to defrost for the next day, for the next night. Because, yes, well, again, it's not Hachana Gemura. You're not preparing. You're just moving it. It's just moving it is not a complete Hachana. It's for a Dvar Mitzvah. It's a Malka Hefzik Adol. So you should prepare in advance that you don't have that situation. But if you have that situation, you're allowed to do it. So you could apply that here. If you had, it's just a question of moving something from point A to point B, even if it would be a chana, or putting something, I would say, even let's say one of the questions was freezing water. not sure exactly what the need is, but I'll leave that to you. So freezing in general is a sign of, we're talking, you're allowed to freeze, you're allowed to freeze water on Shabbos, but Tzarech Shabbos. Here it's not a Tzarech Shabbos, you think you need it for after Shabbos, but, oh, I forgot, I'm sorry, and one more prat in the Heter by Sukkos and by the freezing food is that you could theoretically use it on Shabbos. You have no intention to, but you could get some use from it, but you bring in the benches, you could sit in them on Shabbos, you have no intention to, and you don't need to, but you could sit. So it's not near even Kachana Gemur, but it's not near Kachana, because maybe the one who sees you doing it might say you need it for today. So if you're freezing the water, even if you're planning for after Shabbos, but assuming, you could use it on Shabbos, maybe you want very cold water or frozen water on Shabbos still, and it's, you have all those things, so if you're stuck and you need to do it, I would think that that you could do that. You could, assuming also, for the bar mitzvah, which would include the human safety and human whatever, you have to say, if it's a bar mitzvah, I would think something else that you could do. Something that's hachana gemura, you definitely should be avoided unless it's a question that you may be stuck b'makom sakana without it. Then again, the rules all change. Okay, there was one more question I think that was asked here. Then we could, take a risk of opening the floor a little bit. One more question that I had was about a bracha. So if you look in, I don't have an answer in front of me now, but I looked last night. I think it's in Reish Chav Zayin. If I remember Reish Chav Zayin, Arachayim Reish Chav Zayin. In the Mechabed and the Mishnah Berurah Sifka and Dalet recommend that when you see very strong winds, unusually strong winds, you can make the bracha. You should make the bracha. Osei Masa Bereishis. It's brought also the option of saying Shekocho Gvurasa Mali Olam, but that needs exceptionally strong winds. And the Mishnah Berurah says we're not bucking exactly what that is. And I hope that by 24 hours from now you still won't be bucking what that is. So he recommends saying Osei Masa Bereishis. That's safer. That you don't need the strongest in the world. Just unusually strong winds, you say Osei Masa Bereishis. That's what's brought there. Okay, those are the questions I was asked. If it's something else that you would like me to address, I could consider it.
Okay. Oh. Right. One question was brought up, Erev issues.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was asked that. I was asked the question, when to assume the Erev is down. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really a mysterious thing, but I believe the answer to that is very soon. Because, despite the fact that it might have been checked on Friday, but it's what I've seen in many communities, including yours, I believe certainly in Queens, I've seen that any time there's a significant inclement weather, significant weather, storm, the air seems to go down. I would say in Chicago that doesn't seem to be the case, Baruch Hashem, but maybe because part of the reason might be in Chicago, the air, at least in West Rochester Park, the air is, this is not a statement about whether or not you should rely on the Arab in general, but if you do, the Arab is made up a lot of natural walls, cemetery walls and train walls and river walls. A lot of it, a very, very large percentage is walls which are not getting knocked down in the wind. So it's a much smaller percentage is just sort of Pesach. Maybe that's why. Maybe in other communities, they don't have that advantage. So it seems to me that, a person really has to use seichel and can't just say, well, we have a chazaka that it's up. Probably once it gets unusually stormy, I don't think you can rely on the Erev. I think you rely on the Erev. That's
right.
my feeling just based on experience.
And within the yeshiva property, surrounded by fences, we should be okay, correct?
Yeah. If you, again, you have to, judge on the spot. I mean, you could probably see. I don't know if it's, you could gauge a little bit, maybe see outside, but if it's a fence, which is not, it's not able to come down unless, in the types of winds you're having, then sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a Matthias question, which is an example of something which the Rabbanim on the spot could judge better.
Okay. I guess for questions, or maybe Freeman could hear me better, so I guess people ask and I'll try to relay it.
Something Muktamachas Gufo outside on Shabbos that you didn't realize before Shabbos.
Something Muktamachas Gufo outside you didn't realize. So the fear is
it's going to
fly and hit something.
Or
Machmas Kisar and Kiss.
Okay, so...
Machmas Kisar and
Kiss. Right, well, so if it's just a monetary concern, meaning there's nobody in the street at that point, and it's the chance of it hitting your, smashing your window and somebody being close enough to the window to get hurt or whatever, probably small, assuming it's small, then I don't think so. I mean, to Machmas Kisar, you can't move, for its protection. and you can't even move for youth. You know, it's machas gufo, so you can't even do harama there. You know, again, if the hashara of the local authorities and rabbanim is that no, if you leave that outside, it very well can smash windows. And once the window's smashed, even if the person's not standing there, but the flying glass, but now he doesn't have a window, and now the window's coming through his house at 185 miles an hour, and that itself is a sakana. So if that's realistic, then yeah, okay, then it gets into the gather of you know, hakol nidchum mei sakana. I just, you know, would think that there would, you'd have to be, you'd honestly for that, and probably not the greatest chance of that happening. But again, so let me just reiterate, these are all, you know, what to do if chas v'shalom the worst happens. But you should prepare, if you're preparing yourself by asking the shaila at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you should definitely prepare yourself over the course of the next 6 hours by alleviating such situations. If there's something outside like that which you say will be a sakon, if the wind gets hard, don't leave it outside, you know. Hamechin be'er Shabbos, yochol Shabbos. So, you know, Hashomer atzma be'er Shabbos will avoid getting into these difficult shailas.
The radio has a possibility of alerting if there's a need to possibly evacuate. It's not if you want to go outside, maybe you should go outside, especially before the actual storm hits, there might still be.
Right. It was brought up, on the radio, they'll announce if there's a mandatory evacuation before the storm.
Okay.
Let's say they see, especially now people, you know, go through Facebook and this and that, they see flooding happening more significantly in the area, maybe that would be a reason to...
If we're flooded...
You couldn't hear Friday night, but it was getting worse, and it's inside, you know, get in car and drive up to Boca, or something like that. I'm not planning on doing that.
They're talking about the Metzias, whether we'd be evacuated or not.
Okay, so... I mean, if that's, you know, like I mentioned before, leaving the radio on is not a major shaila. You don't need the biggest circle in the world. So if you feel that that something is going to, that there's a possibility of information that'll be vital, such as that, then you could do that.
Otherwise,
yes. Very often these storms, especially in advance, that comes with thunder and lightning. So if you already made it.
These storms, a lot of times, obviously have thunder and lightning before. So you'll make an osam isabracious and kozlo gvuroso on the storm. Do you make a second one on the wind, or should you wait to make one on the wind?
That's an interesting question. My suspicion though is that if you, let's say you did it already, and there was not, you know, the lightning, there was no winds yet, and the winds come up later, I believe you can make another bracha there. It's hard to say the bracha covers the wind. If it was at that point, it's like another shlub alayla, I mean, there are no winds there, and so I would think you could. Should you wait? Probably not. I mean, there's no reason to, I don't think you see any reason to wait. I mean, you have a chiv to make the bracha as soon as you can. Just, you know, you have to remember that these brachas will have to be tocha de deeper of the experience of the thunder, the lightning, and if you miss the first one, you know, you do it on the second one, whatever it is. But I don't see a reason to wait. I would think if by the time you say it, it's already, you know, somewhat windy and it's hard to mishare, it's unusual wind or not, so then probably you should, you know, safi brachas, don't say it again. Have in mind at that point, have in mind the wind. But if it's not really windy at that point at all, no significant winds, then I think you could say it again when significant winds do develop.
And how does it work with the bracha? There is normally you see the lightning and you clearly hear the thunder. Here, I guess you'll hear the winds, but we'll be inside when the big winds come, hopefully. So you don't have to see a wind. You don't have to see the palm trees. Many people's houses will be totally dark by then. You don't have to see wind, right?
No, I think if you... you'll hear it, you'll hear the howling?
You hear the howling, which Mustamo will hear different than the normal situation. So it depends, different houses. You know, some people's houses, everything's boarded up, you can't see anything.
That's interesting. Are you allowed to make the bracha if you hear the wind? I don't have the mishra. I'm actually in my car in the parking lot of the shul, so I don't even have mishra in front of me. Take a look there in Reish Chazai in that sift there. Yeah, I don't remember if it says Lashon Haroa or it just says Al. It could say it says Al Ruchos. If I have a chance, maybe I'll look later. Maybe I'll, you know, contact you if I can. But I'm not certain about that.
Right. some of the guys are tiding. You don't see the wind any, you only see the effects of it. So Molly, okay. Palm tree flapping or yeah. Hearing the train going over your roof.
Yeah, okay, but it's still, I assume that's called, you know, I think that's called, that's how you see a wind, when you see its effect. Hearing howling noises or, you know, that's, I can hear, I'm not saying no, it very well could be, but I hear that could be a chalik, that's a different madriga, the noises could be caused by other things, theoretically, and if you didn't know there was a storm, you might not even know, hey, what's that noise? You might not even, you know, not know what to attribute to. It's different. Eino doma shbiel riyah.
Okay. Other questions?
It's a crazy show. It's crazy. Someone take is no so much shit. Someone is she and he goes outside. You have to go out and say. That is that something you're saying?
No one's going outside. How far should one go to adopt the Davin Tefillah B'Tzibur, or if there's any kind of remote sakana, even if it's like his wife is nervous?
How far should a person go for tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos? We'll start with Shabbos,
Sunday,
and then go to Sunday.
When you say far, I mean literally. How? I mean, if some minyanim aren't functioning, how far do you have to walk? Literally, is that the question?
No, people may not go leave their houses.
I mean, so, how much of a risk should one take? How much of a risk? Yeah. How much should one gamble?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's a seichel question. I don't know. I can't give you any gather any if the wind is like this, the wind's like that. The answer is though that you have nishmat emolah nafsha seichem is a mitzvah chashuva ad ma'od. Now so is tefillah b'tzibur and so is kriyas ha'Torah. But lemaisa, the first one is docha. So if there's a real concern here, and there are two considerations. Number one, well, we're talking to, if you're talking to family people, so then there's also consideration of what the wife feels, which is weighs in, even if she's more cautious and more panicky. But Lamaisa, that definitely is a consideration. But if there's a real concern, then you have to you don't take chances. I can't answer that. But don't use it as an excuse. But don't take chances. You don't take chances. That's the answer. Don't take chances. You don't take chances. If there's a real sakana, if it looks like there could be a real sakana being outside, then you stay home. That's what I would say. Okay, I'm going to have to go now.
Okay. Okay, thank you very, very much.
No problem. I hope it was helpful. And,
okay, thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. You should be mispalel that this is all remains just... just theoretical, and everybody, Bez Hashem, should be safe and well, and shouldn't suffer any damage, not the goof and not the moment.
Amen.